I imagine that right now you're feeling a bit like Alice, tumbling down the rabbit hole. I can see it in your eyes.
I'm trying to free your mind, Neo.
You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
What truth? You say you that you are a slave, Neo.
Try to understand this!
20-year-olds fall in and out of love more often than they change their oil filters, which they should do more often.
I didn't see the light until I was already a man.
You have to let it all go, Neo. Fear, doubt, disbelief.
Free your mind.
It doesn't matter who we are. No one cared who I was till I put on the mask.
How do you define real?
You stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. After this, there is no turning back.
Are we clear?
Crystal.
And the beauty harbored there. I try to understand through the mirror.
Welcome to the program, Third Degree Mind. This is the first episode that we've done in quite some time. You know, I always get to this point of deciding whether or not we're going to continue doing this, and we take this little break. But, you know, I always feel a passion for this type of stuff, this mental health stuff, and talking about self-improvement and making your life better and your perspective on life better. And like I said, I can never help always coming back to this. I feel passionate about it, and I'll always encounter something in my life that makes me think, oh, if I was still doing podcasting, this would be a great topic. And obviously in the last 2 years, 3 years, however long it's been, in the last amount of time since we've put out any of this content, a lot has happened in all of our lives, in my life and your life, and the world around us. I spent a fair amount of time in therapy myself over the last couple of years. I recently discovered, probably about 6 months ago, discovered BetterHelp. And I'm not getting anything from BetterHelp. They're not paying me to talk about them on the program here. They're not sponsoring this program or anything like that, but I want to share just kind of my experience. You know, I've BetterHelp, if you've never heard of it, it is an online therapy system. I think these types of things kind of took off during the pandemic. You know, we were all at home, everything was virtual, everything was over Zoom, these video calls. And that's what BetterHelp is. It's a therapy system that allows you to connect virtually with a licensed therapist, and you basically have Zoom calls with them once a week. You get your appointment, you schedule your appointment. You could text them, you could email them, you can message them in the right there on the website. There's a system for messaging in between your therapy sessions. They can give you worksheets and things to work on in between your sessions. It's all right there on the website. There's also classes you could do, like group therapy sessions. It's all included in the membership, and I think you get a lot for your money when you sign up for something like that. And I think it's beneficial. It's great because if you don't even connect with your therapist that you're assigned, you can click a button and you can get a new therapist if you don't have the right connection, or you're just not feeling it with this therapist. And you could do that as many times as you want. Be like, you know what? I'm not really connecting with this specific therapist. I'd like somebody else. And they'll always accommodate that. And I think that's a great thing. It's so much easier than trying to find a therapist you like and having to drive to their office, schedule an appointment, you know, weeks out. I've been in and out of therapy for years, and BetterHelp was the first time that I felt like it was actually set up around me, and it was to accommodate me, and I thought that was a great thing. So And again, I'm not talking about BetterHelp because they're sponsoring me or they're giving me any money. I don't have a fancy referral code to give you a discount. I don't have anything like that. I just feel like it's important to share things like that with you all. And that's something that I've been working on recently, and I feel like that's important that I share that with you. So I hope you'll look into it if you've ever considered professional mental health treatment. Even if you don't necessarily have a diagnosis of anything, or you don't really feel like there's anything mentally wrong with you, you're obviously here listening to this program. You're here listening because we talk about things like different mental health conditions or different strategies that we can all use to better our lives. And sometimes we just all need that extra little help. And I think that's what therapy is really all about. It's not about fixing someone that's broken. It's just about this lifelong journey of self-improvement and self-help. I don't know if that sounds cliche or not, but that's what it is. If you have any questions on that type of thing, you can always feel free to reach out to me on Facebook. Facebook, you just go search Third Degree Mind. You can like and subscribe to our page. Updates are there all the time. You can send me a message right on there. That's probably the easiest way to get in touch with me. You know, in the past, I gave out various email addresses, Gmail accounts and stuff. And, you know, I've really gotten away from a lot of that. So I think the easiest way to contact me is on the Third Degree Mind Facebook page. That's our main contact. You can also contact us on Podbean. That's where this podcast is hosted, on Podbean. So you can go to podbean.com. You can look for Third Degree Mind in the search, and you can comment on episodes right there. That's probably the second easiest way to get in touch with me, and I'm going to say that if you don't like Facebook, don't like social media, you don't want to have anything to do with any of those things, I totally understand. Social media, oh my God, social media can just be such an awful thing, the way people are to each other on social media, so I totally and completely understand your point of view if you choose not to have any type of social media. But I still want you to be able to get in touch with me, so I think if you don't have social media, the best way is going on to podbean.com and looking us up, search Third Degree Mind on there, and you can send us a message on there, you can comment on the forum, comment on any of the episodes, and that would be a way to get in touch with us also. So that direct link is going to be thirddegreemind.podbean.com. Okay, now that we got that, I guess, some of the formality stuff out of the way, I wanted to tell you a story. And it's like I said a couple minutes ago, you know, I took this break from podcasting. I didn't know if we were going to come back. I didn't know if I really wanted to be doing this or not. But over the last couple of years, I ran into several different situations where, like I said, I kind of thought to myself, man, I really wish I was still really into that, to where I could tell this story and I could make it somewhat relatable, or at least try to make it relatable. Hopefully this stuff is worth listening to, you know? We had a decent number of listeners. I guess this episode here will be our trial period to see how many downloads I get on this one, see how many of you might still be subscribed or at least following, paying attention. I know it's been a long time, so maybe nobody out there will download this one. I don't know, but we'll see how it goes. Thank you in advance if you do, if you're still out there and you're still listening, you know, thank you. You can give yourself a pat on the back for sticking it out and still being there after, what, two years of silence. But anyways, the story that I kind of want to share with you today, it's about the solar eclipse that happened across North America about a month ago now. Maybe some of you had the opportunity to see the totality, you know, where the moon fully covers the sun. Quite an awesome experience. I saw the one in 2017, August of 2017, I traveled, drove out to Wyoming and saw it, and it was such an awesome experience that I definitely wanted to see another one again, and of course I knew at that time that my next chance would be April 2024. And I told myself, I really want to do this again, because this was such a cool experience. So last month in April, for this most recent total solar eclipse, I actually did travel to go see this one as well. And I took my daughter. She's 8 now, so she's kind of right at that age where starting to get to a point where she could potentially appreciate the opportunity to go see this eclipse, but also kind of a little bit on the young side, you know. But I left it up to her. I had to ask her mom, you know, are you okay with me giving her the opportunity to come with? Her name's Olivia. My daughter's name is Olivia. All right, so I had to ask her mom, are you okay with me taking Olivia with if she wants to? It's going to be a long road trip. You know, I don't know if she'll necessarily want to, because we're driving. I'm taking camera equipment and stuff, so I'm not going to be flying. And, of course, would have to take her out of school for probably 2 days, because the eclipse is on Monday. So my plan was, okay, we'll leave Vegas on Friday, and we'll drive towards the path of totality. Friday night we'll start, and we'll stop in, you know, different places along the way, and the path of totality is all the way out in Texas, which is a good 1,000 miles away from here. So it's quite a drive. We spent several days of just driving to get there, and then after the eclipse, you know, the plan was we were just going to turn around and come straight back here to Vegas. So I got everything kind of situated. Her mom was good with me taking Olivia with me. And I started asking Olivia, maybe January or so. Hey, you know, the kind of explaining, hey, there's this eclipse. And she knew what an eclipse was, because she's seen pictures, and she's seen lunar eclipses and things like that. And I had shown her some pictures of what I saw in 2017 at that solar eclipse, so she was somewhat familiar. And starting in January, I started bringing this up to her, like, hey, is this something that you want to do? Would you want to join me for this? This is something that I'm going to do over this weekend, but it's a long road trip. You know, you'd be sitting in the car with me. It's a good 4 or 5 days of just sitting in a car and all to see this eclipse, you know. So and from the beginning she was kind of like, ooh, I get to miss school, so yeah, that sounds like a great idea. And of course that's the appeal for an 8-year-old, is I get to miss school for a couple of days. And so we started out in January kind of talking about this, and she's kind of a goofball, so she was always like, you know, I'm 50% sure that I want to go. And then each time I would ask her, oh, I'm 60% sure, I'm 65% sure. And kind of as the date got closer, you know, her percentages kept going up. And I told her from the beginning, it wasn't a trip I was going to make her go on. I would like her to come, but I'm not going to make her miss school to do this, to sit in the car for 4 or 5 long days on a long road trip with me. If she wasn't going to have fun, I didn't want to make her do it. And as I said, you know, her percentages kind of got higher. It was eventually we got to 90%. And well, anyways, I started kind of looking to get my route planned and get the hotels booked. And by this point, you know, I'm anticipating her coming with me as her percentages are getting above 90%. You know, I'm fairly certain that she's going to end up coming with. So I figure out where, you know, where the path of totality is, and I end up with a town called Killeen, Texas. I hope I'm saying that right. I'm sorry if anyone's from Texas. I've never heard of Killeen. It's out there by another town I'm probably going to say wrong. Copperas Cove? Copperas Cove? I think it's Copperas Cove. I don't know. I'm sorry if I'm butchering these names. You know, I'm ironically, on a little tangent here, I'm from Wisconsin, which has some of the most difficult city and town names to pronounce. And you're probably listening to me now thinking like, oh, I can't believe you could say, you know, Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, but you can't say Killeen correctly. If I am saying that wrong, I don't even know, to be honest. So Killeen is out there in central Texas, about 150,000 people, give or take. So not a real big town, but not, you know, not super tiny either. And so that was right in the path of our totality. Plus, it's also not far from Tesla superchargers, which is a big deal for me because those of you that do know me, I road trip in a Tesla. So we have to have some charging availability there. It's a little bit different than driving in a gas car where maybe you don't have to think about that. So of course, in an electric vehicle, I do have to contemplate things like that. So we kind of settled on this town and I looked at hotels, got our hotel room booked probably 2 months prior. By the way, these types of events, and I did know this from 2017, that hotel rooms book up, they run out the last minute travelers trying to get to that path of totality. It's a narrow strip, probably only about 100 miles wide, where the total solar eclipse is visible. You have to be in that band to see totality, where the moon fully covers the sun. If you're outside of that band, you know, you'll see different levels of totality. Here in Vegas, I think, I want to say it was about 50%. As you get closer to that band, you end up with obviously more coverage, where more of the sun is covered. You can get up to 90, 95%, things like that. Up in the Midwest, there were places that had 90% coverage, 95% coverage. But in order to get that 100% full totality, the moon completely covering the sun, the darkness, the actual experience of totality, you have to be in that band. And of course, that's why we're traveling, because that's what I wanted to see and that's what I wanted to show my daughter. And a total solar eclipse is a rare thing. Like I said, you have to be in that band, which, depending on the specific eclipse, it can be between 75 and maybe about 100 miles wide. It's a narrow area. And the next time that this will happen, at least where it's visible in the U.S., is in the year 2043. So we're talking about another 19 years from now before there's another opportunity in the U.S. to see this type of thing. So it's not common, you know, it doesn't happen very often. And a lot of times when there is a total eclipse, which happens every couple of years somewhere on the face of the earth, a lot of times that narrow path of totality, that small area you'd have to get to, is out in the middle of the ocean somewhere, you know, with no witnesses, nobody there to see what happened. And if you're outside of that path of totality, if you're outside of where the eclipse is actually visible, the rest of the planet just kind of goes about their day and doesn't really notice anything, because nothing happens. There's nothing remarkable that happens if you're outside of that area. So anyways, you know, as the eclipse gets closer, like I said, her percentages of whether or not she's going to come with me are climbing. She's getting more and more excited to go. And like I said, I'm aware at this point that she's very likely going to end up going when she starts saying, "I'm 99% sure that I'm going to come with." It wasn't until the day of that she said she was 100% sure. So that's just her goofy self, learning percentages at school and understanding what that is. But anyways, so we leave Friday. She goes to school Friday and we leave Friday, after school, 'cause I work Friday. So Friday evening we leave and we make it, the goal is we're going to get to Flagstaff. And you know, by this point already, I'm checking weather forecasts for the Killeen, Texas area, because in order to see totality, we need clear skies. You know, otherwise, if it's overcast, if it's poor weather, we're not going to see totality even in that band. So by this point, and I actually remembered this from 2017, what happened at that eclipse. The location that I had selected, you know, that I pre-selected, this is where we're going to go to watch this eclipse. It was my brother and me. That location started having cloudy forecasts a couple days before. And we kind of had to play it by ear a little bit in 2017. So I remembered that experience. So, of course, you know, like everybody else that's going to this thing, I'm watching weather forecasts days and days before. So the eclipse was on Monday. Friday is when we're heading out of Vegas to start heading this way. But I'm already watching weather forecasts, and I'm trying to look at different locations to try to find some optimal locations, because you got to be flexible for these types of things, because you got to avoid clouds. And I don't know much about Texas, but I hear, and I kind of learned in this experience, that Texas weather can be kind of unpredictable. And I'm kind of familiar with that here in Vegas, because it's kind of the same. We end up with a lot of sunny skies, clear skies, not a lot of clouds here in Vegas. This is great, great weather for sun. But we do end up with random rain and random overcast days. And a lot of times that's not predicted very far in advance, at least not accurately. So that's kind of the challenge that we have here in Vegas. And from what I understand, what I kind of learned in this experience is Texas is kind of similar. So if you've ever been there, or if you're from there, you're probably sitting there listening and nodding your head along, because you know what I'm talking about. And so even though I knew this, I'm watching weather forecasts, and as a large number of people are, and it turns out that much of Texas, and actually much of Arkansas, and this whole southern band of where totality is visible, is already talking about bad weather, cloudy skies, overcast, you know, not a lot of visibility for the sun, and everyone's kind of getting nervous. Everyone's like, oh man, this, what if we're not going to see it? And that was kind of stressful from the beginning, you know, but in spite of that, you know, I made these preparations, I made these plans. This is something that is not possible to see very often. I'm not going to not go just because of a chance that it's cloudy. If I stay here in Vegas, I know for sure that I am not going to experience this. If I go, there's a chance these forecasts are wrong. There's a chance that I can find somewhere that doesn't have a lot of clouds. So I'm still going to go, and I do. Friday night, the goal is to get from Las Vegas to Flagstaff, which is a good 4.5-ish hours from Vegas. So not real far. I already have a hotel room booked in Flagstaff. We're leaving kind of late. So that's kind of our goal for day one, for that night, for Friday night. And as we're driving, you know, unpredictably, we end up in some blizzard conditions. Flagstaff is at an elevation. They get snow, and this is early April, and we're up in mountains, so we actually end up with a bit of driving through a bit of a snowstorm, and that slows us down quite a bit. So that's kind of our first night, kind of unfortunate weather for driving, you know. And of course, I'm from Wisconsin. I'm not unfamiliar with snow, but when you're driving on the freeway and you're just getting dumped on with blizzard, whiteout conditions, it doesn't matter how used to driving in snow you are. You're going 25, 30 miles an hour, and it's white knuckle driving. It's nervous driving, stressful driving, and it's exhausting. And so it took us a bit longer to get to Flagstaff. It was kind of late. It was probably about midnight by the time we got to Flagstaff, which was quite a bit later than I wanted to be driving. But you know, it is what it is. You can't do anything about that. Saturday morning, we wake up, and of course, the freeway was closed from the blizzard conditions, so we couldn't even get on the freeway. I don't know. I don't really know if there was maybe a bad accident that was blocking the freeway, or if it was just the fact that the snow hadn't been stopped for hadn't ended too long. What am I trying to say? I can't talk right now. I don't know if there was an accident on the freeway, or if it was just snow covered and they hadn't had a chance to clear it off yet. I don't know, but either way, we couldn't get on the freeway. We had to kind of Google Maps our way around down a frontage road, along with everybody else and their mother, all the semi-trucks and everything like that. So it was slow moving down this frontage road, and that put us a little bit behind schedule for Saturday, because Saturday we had a long day. I wanted to make it all the way to Amarillo, Texas, which is about 600 miles. And of course, in a Tesla, that means we're stopping, you know, four or five times to charge. So that adds a little bit of time and having a 8-year-old in the car who needs to use the restroom and stuff like that. We're not driving those 600 miles like straight through with one gas stop in the middle. You know, we can't do that in our car. So it normally would take in my car again, Flagstaff to Amarillo. I think I guessed about 10 hours. 10, maybe even 11 hours. But the other thing is we're also losing 2 hours of time zones there. So factor that in. We really needed to leave Flagstaff early to get to make sure we got to our hotel in Amarillo. And so that was quite a long day, even after those freeway closures. And then we got moving. That was a long day of driving. That's for sure. But we did make it to Amarillo on Saturday night. And so that was all fine and dandy. Sunday morning came, and the plan was to go from Amarillo to Killeen, which is, I want to say about 450 miles, give or take. So that's not quite as long, but still a good 8 hours of driving. So that Sunday was going to be a long day also. And this is where, you know, this is the day before the eclipse, and now I'm really studying these weather forecasts, and I'm really trying to figure out if we're going to have a shot at seeing this thing or not. And Western Texas, kind of where we were, you know, Amarillo is northwestern Texas there up in the top of Texas, and kind of where we were there, there's maybe 85-90% of coverage of totality for the eclipse, but we weren't in the totality band. We wouldn't see totality there, but the thought had crossed my mind, and some people had suggested to me, you know, why don't you just kind of stay in kind of western Texas, maybe start heading a little bit towards the band, but maybe not go all the way, because there's better forecasts for this area for during the eclipse, you know, maybe clearer skies. So, hey, it might be better to see a 90 or 95% eclipse instead of drive an extra 450 miles one way, so 900 miles round trip, just to see clouds. Do we really want to drive this much further towards the totality band, but put us in clouds to where we're not going to see anything? And, you know, if I wanted to see a 90% eclipse or a partial eclipse, I could have done that in Vegas. You know, maybe not 90%. Vegas, I think, was around 80%, something like that. I don't remember exactly what it was. But if I was only looking to see a partial eclipse, I wouldn't have gone anywhere. You know, the whole purpose of this trip is to go try to see totality, which is... totality is the whole benefit of a solar eclipse. If you're not seeing a total solar eclipse, I think you're wasting your time. That's just kind of my opinion after seeing the one in 2017 and kind of itching at this point, the day before the eclipse, really itching to see another one and just an indescribable experience. I don't know if you've never experienced a total solar eclipse, you're probably scratching your head wondering what the hell I'm even talking about here and why it's even a big deal. But, there was no way that we were not going to get all the way to the totality band and then try to play this game of clouds. We're going to do it. We're going to do what we can and try to chase clear skies as good as we can and hope for the best, you know, hope for a little bit of luck. But Sunday was not an easy day. Like I said, we had this long drive to get from Amarillo down to Killeen. And here we are in the middle of nowhere, central Texas, maybe halfway through our day, and end up with a flat tire. And of course, a lot of modern cars, Tesla included, doesn't have a spare. And this is a Sunday, and we're in the middle of nowhere, Texas. Just absolutely awful, awful luck at this point. And I pulled in before the tire went completely flat. I was able to get us to a gas station, which was good. And this ended up being the absolute perfect gas station to pull into. Little did I know, it was next door to a guy that is basically the county's tire guy. You know, this is a very rural part of Texas. There is no Discount Tire or Firestone dealer that's out there, Goodyear. There's nothing like that out here. But this guy that owns the shop right next door to the gas station is basically the whole county's tire guy, and he does tires for everyone in this rural county. And he basically works on call as needed. And so this gas station, when I walked in and said, I know it's a long shot, but it's Sunday afternoon. Is there any chance that you have somebody I can call that can help us out with this flat tire? I don't even have a spare, you know, blah, blah, blah. And of course she calls this guy. She's like, oh yeah, he's right next door. Calls him. Boom, we're back on the road. Probably 30 minutes later, 35 minutes maybe, this and $20. You know, this guy pulls the car into his own shop, patches up the tire, gets us back on the road. Absolute lifesaver. Absolutely as bad of luck as I had getting this flat tire when and where we did. I couldn't have asked for better luck in terms of the gas station I was able to make it to and pull into, and the fact that this guy was available to patch up this little leak. I don't know what we hit, if we hit a little nail or nail fell out or something, because there was no nail or screw in the tire, but it was definitely leaking air pretty quick, and it had gone flat on us. So there would have been, I don't know what we would have done if it weren't for this guy. So that was absolutely the best luck we could have had, considering the awful luck of a flat tire in this long road trip in the middle of nowhere. So we get through that. We end up making it down to Killeen. And of course, I'm still looking for checking out weather forecasts. Where are we going to go? It's super, super overcast in Killeen when we get here on Sunday night, and it's just, it's not going to be good. Like, I'm just getting real nervous, trying to find the best places we can go. We kind of make a little bit of an adjustment to our plan. We're not going to stay in this town, it looks like. You know, I find a different town close by that has better shot. We end up Monday morning waking up, driving a couple hours to get to where I need to get to, in order to have the best chance of the clearest possible skies. And there we are watching the weather channel, weather app updates for cloud coverage and sun position and everything like that, and what's the best place. And we end up finding a little spot on the side of the road, a little two-lane highway, middle of rural Texas, central Texas, just, I don't know, probably a half hour outside of the closest town. Nobody else around. It was just my daughter and me. That's where we parked, on the side of the road. We had mostly clear skies, excellent sun position away from the clouds. And yes, we were able to experience totality. We saw the whole thing. It was absolutely amazing. My daughter absolutely loved it. And it was great. And totality where we were lasted about 4 minutes. I think the longest it lasted in some places was about 4.5 minutes. And then we loaded back up into the car from there and drove straight back. We left at 3 p.m.-ish when the eclipse had ended and headed back to Vegas, which is about 1,200-ish miles one way. And that was going to be our straight shot, because I had to drive the rest of Monday through Monday night, you know, into Tuesday. I planned on maybe resting somewhere for a couple hours and sleeping in the car and then just driving straight through, because I wanted to get home on Tuesday. I had to work Wednesday, and I wanted to get my daughter to school on Wednesday. I didn't want her to miss more than the 2 days that she had already missed. So that was a long straight shot. It was about 25 hours of driving in one straight shot, including our stops. And I did take a little nap in Albuquerque for, I don't know, maybe 4 hours or so. And this whole time driving back, you know, I'm thinking about this experience and how happy I am that my daughter wanted to go with, and that she had such a good time. And, you know, within minutes of this eclipse ending, within seconds of this 4 minute eclipse ending, she's already asking me, like, when's this going to happen again? Like, when can we do this again? Some people plan out their eclipse, you know, their eclipse chasing adventures literally years in advance. You know, I didn't really sit down and put pen to paper on this one until maybe January, when I kind of started figuring out the route. But that's months before, and I was definitely not the first to do that. And in 2017, after seeing that eclipse, that was when I first started thinking, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this in 2024. And there are people that travel all over the world in order to see this type of thing. Like I said, it's a rare experience. It's like I said, the next time it's visible in the U.S. is 2043. It's really a complex dance requiring the perfect alignment of the sun, earth, and moon. And you figure these, you know, the orbit of the moon around the earth, the orbit of the earth around the sun, just to have the perfect alignment of these three celestial objects is not a common occurrence. I like the phrase complex dance requiring perfect alignment, you know. And even when this does happen, like I said, it is only visible along that narrow path, 75, 100 miles maybe. So many times these rare events actually occur over the ocean and there are no witnesses. Nobody sees it. Nobody knows that it even happens. So the opportunity to actually experience this, I'm really telling you guys, it's something that you should not pass up. It's a very moving experience. It's an awesome connection to nature and the universe. I can't even really put it into words. You know, day turns to night in a matter of seconds during totality. You know, you have daytime. It starts getting darker as the moon covers more and more of the sun, and it happens so fast. It's not the same thing as the sun going down in the evening and a sunset. It's unusual. It's different. There's also some weird, strange phenomena that happens. You know, the winds get calm. If it's a windy day, the winds kind of slow down or even stop. Shadows look differently. Certain colors, even like the color red, look really different. And I can't even really describe what that is. It's just different. If there's animals in the area, they kind of behave oddly because they're not really sure what's going on. You know, you have crickets starting to chirp as it's getting darker. We were near a field of cows, and it was kind of funny to watch the cows kind of all laying down as if they were going to bed and they were going to go to sleep, and then they end up waking up. You know, you hear birds chirping at the end of the eclipse. You know, so there's some weird things that happen, and you know, it feels like the world is just standing still. And the more I think about it, it really makes sense to me that, you know, 1,000 years ago or thousands of years ago, it makes sense to me why people would have been terrified by this experience. You know, it gets dark out of nowhere and you look up to the sky in the middle of the afternoon where the sun used to be. You see this black, dark object, this black circle where the sun used to be. It very odd experience. If you don't know this is coming and you don't understand what's happening, I understand why people would have been terrified. Even the word eclipse comes from the Greek word for abandonment. You know, during an eclipse, it really is as if the sun leaves us, and something strange and even magical, phenomenal, takes its place. It's like a third sun or moon that you never really knew existed is just suddenly in the sky, and you've never seen this before. It's so different and it's so unique. It quite literally feels like you're on a different planet entirely. It's an understatement for me to sit here and tell you that there's nothing else like it. And then all at once, it's over. You know, the 4 minutes pass, and you instantly are sitting there thinking, there's absolutely nothing I can do to experience that again. It's over. Life returns to normal, and you're just left sitting there. You think to yourself that you might never have the chance to experience that ever again. There's nothing you can do to get that magical moment back. There's no video or photo or description that does it justice. A 99% partial eclipse, I'm telling you, I wouldn't personally bother. I wouldn't. I wouldn't travel to see a 99% partial eclipse. If it happened where I was, I might not even really go outside and look up into the sky for a partial eclipse. It's just, the difference between 99% and totality is indescribable. You need to see it. And not just a picture. You need to experience it. It's not just about seeing it. You plan for years just for something that takes a few seconds. And in our case, you know, the planning aside, but just the traveling, you know, I told Olivia, you know, we're traveling for 4 days. 4 days of sitting in a car, traveling to and from, just to experience 4 minutes of totality. 4 days for 4 minutes. When Olivia asked at the end of totality and she kind of looked at me, I could see the disappointment on her face. And she asked, you know, when can I see this again? When can we do this again? I think she realized at that time why this trip was special. And I think she craves it again, just like I do. And we've talked about it over the last month. You know, she now gets it. Just like I did after 2017 and how glad I was that I traveled to see that one. Because it really is indescribable. But as I've pondered this, and here's the part that I really want you to pay attention to if you've kind of zoned out and you're probably sitting there wondering, like, why are we talking about this? What does this have to do with anything? But it has a lot to do with life. And I've realized that this story and this experience that I had with my daughter on this little vacation, this four-day road trip to go see a four-minute total eclipse, there's some valuable life lessons here. And this is the part that's really important that I really want you to hear. And if you've been paying attention for this long, this is the part I really want you to tune in on. Okay, I have four life lessons that this whole experience taught me. And the first one is to make memories. You know, Olivia and I were sitting on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of Central Texas, setting up our chairs in the shade under a tree to get out of the sun, just to watch this phenomenon. You know, maybe an hour and a half before it happened is when we got there and started setting up our chairs and hanging out. And I kept thinking how happy I was that she came with. You know, those months of 50%, 60% I'm going to come, 70% I'm going to come. I thought about how lonely I really would have been if I was by myself. And yes, just so you know, I did tell her many, many times that I was very, very happy that she came. And that's super important, guys. If you have kids, you have to tell them when you appreciate them. They need to know it. They need to know when they need to know when you appreciate something that they did. They need to know how special they are to you. And they need to hear that out of your mouth. As I think about how that felt for me, you know, it brings out some emotions for me that even if nothing else on this trip, she and I built memories together with this adventure. This adventure was 4 days for 4 minutes. But it's the memories that I'll cherish for a lifetime that truly matter. And that's what life is about, making those memories. Being there with the special people for the special moments. Make those memories because you only have a limited number of chances and opportunities. That's what life is really about. So that's lesson one, make memories. Lesson two, you have to plan. You have to plan. You have to put yourself where you want to be in life. It doesn't just happen, guys. The path of totality for a solar eclipse, I've told you several times, it's only 75 to 100 miles wide. It's a small area. It's not everywhere. And you have to plan to put yourself there. One of the things I remember from 2017 was the skyrocketing costs of hotel rooms for these rural areas with very, very limited number of hotel rooms that were not used to seeing hundreds of thousands of people flocking to this little little area that's only 75 miles wide or 80 miles wide, depending on where you are exactly. You have to plan. You have to put yourself where you want to be. You have to get yourself there. If you don't get yourself on the right path, you absolutely will miss out on something awesome. If I stayed in Las Vegas and didn't go on this trip, I would have missed out on this experience. The only reason Olivia and I got to see it was because of extensive planning and putting ourselves on the right path to get there. So that's lesson two. You have to plan, because it doesn't just happen. Lesson three. You got to roll with the punches. You got to roll with the punches, because things don't always go according to plan. You got to be flexible. Lesson two was about planning and planning meticulously. But lesson three, you got to roll with the punches, because things don't always go according to plan. You have to continuously reevaluate your plan. You have to continuously make changes when the clouds roll in. Plan B, plan C, plan D, or whatever letter you end up on, you have to be flexible. You have to roll with the punches so that you can find those clear skies. Because we can't plan everything. Lesson two, like I said, was about planning. But lesson three, when the clouds roll in and I'm looking up for the eclipse, I got to roll with the punches. I got to have a plan B, a plan C, a plan D. I got to do whatever I need to. And lesson four, this is the final lesson. Lesson four, always remember this. Luck plays a role. A solar eclipse, by its very nature, I already told you, is a complex dance of elliptical alignment. These celestial bodies orbiting around each other, having to line up at the perfect moment, in perfect alignment. Luck plays a role. But even beyond that, you can't control everything, no matter how hard you try. You can't control the clouds. You can't control the storms along the way. The snowstorms, the flat tires, the clouds that are going to prevent you from seeing what you want to see. Those flat tires might cause a delay. You have to plan and replan, and you have to go around, and you have to do this, and you have to have your plan C and your plan D. And at the end of the day, luck plays a role, because you can't always control everything. No amount of planning or worrying would have impacted the clarity of the Texas sky for Olivia and me. No amount of planning would have affected that. God, fate, luck, Mother Nature, whatever you believe in, I know what I believe in. Believe in something bigger than yourself. Recognize that you are not always in control. Something bigger than you influences this. And like I said, whether you call it God, fate, luck, Mother Nature, whatever you call it, it's bigger than you. And you have to trust that that plays quite a role in this whole thing. But remember that luck only matters because we put ourselves where we wanted to be. That was lesson two about planning. We put ourselves where we wanted to be, and then we left the rest up to fate. Don't get in the way of yourself. Don't make excuses. You still got to put yourself where you want to be in the path and make sure you're looking up. Make sure you're looking up, ready to marvel at whatever comes your way. 4 days for 4 minutes. But that's not all it was about. It was about life lesson number one, making memories, being present with the people that you love and making memories with them. Lesson two, making sure that you plan, making sure that you take an active role in your success. Lesson three, making sure you remember that you have to roll with the punches. Sometimes there's things that happen that you have to have a plan B, a plan C, a plan D. And then lesson four, keeping in mind that luck plays a role in everything. And sometimes, no matter what you do, no matter what level of planning you do, no matter what level of worrying about something, no matter what you do, luck will always play a role in your success. And you, even though you've put yourself on the right path, you have to keep in mind that you can't always prevent every bad thing from happening. You can't always win what you're trying to win. But when you recognize that, and when you embrace that reality, that's when you become a successful human being, even if you've failed over and over again. Success is born in our failures, guys. So I want you to remember those four life lessons. And I don't want you to forget them. I'm glad that you were here to download and stream this episode of Third Degree Mind. Hopefully we're coming back out of hiatus again. We come and go, but I am always here. I am always around. You can always message on Facebook, Third Degree Mind, or you can go thirddegreemind.podbean.com. Send us a message on there, comment on the episode, anything like that. You can always subscribe to us there. I always encourage that, of course. And I know I said in the beginning I'm getting away from email, but the more I've kind of thought about it, I am going to keep the email inbox open. It is borderline750@gmail.com. You can always send an email there. I will say that that is my least preferred option for contacting me. I have missed some emails in there, and that's kind of why I was trying to get away from that. But the more I've thought about it, I really don't want to limit your options for communication. So borderline750@gmail.com if you do want to contact us there. But that is not the preferred option. Preferred option is always on Facebook. Facebook, go to Third Degree Mind, go to our page on there, subscribe, you can send a message, you can all kinds of things like that. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out. Otherwise, I'll talk to you again soon. Have a great weekend, guys. Hey, it's Jake, creator and host of Third Degree Mind Podcast. Thanks for listening to today's episode. I wanted to close really quick by reminding you that Third Degree Mind is produced primarily for entertainment purposes and is not intended to treat or diagnose any mental illness and is not intended to replace clinical psychiatry. I am not a licensed therapist or physician, so if you feel that you need mental health treatment, please always seek that appropriate care in your area. If you're feeling actively suicidal, please call 911 or take yourself to an emergency room. If you're in the U.S., you can contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline 24/7 at 1-800-273-8255 or contact them using their online chat service at suicidepreventionlifeline.org. And once again, they are available 24/7.